Welcome back to the Star Court Lounge. This is episode 5 of our little podcast here. Today, I was thinking about talking about various developments and new things that have come into my life for gaming. The newest of which being my Oculus Rift S. I've been having a lot of fun with that. Never thought I would really get into VR. I always thought it was more of a fad or kind of a very niche kind of product. But luckily, I was able to give one a little test drive, as it were, and really enjoyed playing that, specifically Beat Saber and those kinds of games. So went and got one and have been thoroughly enjoying it ever since. Predominantly playing Beat Saber, as I said. A lot of fun, get a little bit of a workout in. But the one that's kind of stood out to me most from a VR perspective, that's a little bit older, was Arkham VR by Rocksteady. That was a super fun and engaging game, even though it was super short and compared to like modern VR titles, a little bit more rudimentary, seeing as it was originally made for, I believe it was the PSVR, like PlayStation 4. But it was super well done, very graphically impressive. I also have dabbled a little bit, not too much, mostly going through the tutorial setup portions of these respective games, but I have done some Skyrim VR and Fallout 4 VR, both of which super well done. I was expecting to be more nauseated with the motion sickness and everything with those games, but the way that they handled that with kind of like tunnel visioning as you're like moving and that tunnel narrows as you move faster, like sprinting, things like that, was super well done, and it actually didn't really bother me at all. And the combat was super fun from the little bit that I did in Skyrim. Didn't really do much in Fallout, and I gotta say, melee super broken in Skyrim VR. You basically just flail your hand around and you just like melt a guy in like 3 seconds. Pretty hilarious. Bow and arrow, super cool, because you actually use a bow and arrow like a bow and arrow, which is pretty awesome. And then aside from that, the other big kind of VR game that I dabble in is Phasmophobia, which out of the grand sum of VR games that I've played was giving me the most troubles from a motion sickness perspective, just because it doesn't do that narrowed field of view when you're moving. So that was very kind of like you're moving and then you stop, and then I could feel my body just like kind of like lurch forward because of that like disparity between what I'm seeing and what my body's actually doing. So that one gave me the worst kind of nausea and vertigo. And then beyond that, my, I guess, rig refresh has finally been completed. Went from a old rig with a B550 Ryzen 5 setup with a Radeon 580 as my graphics card. And finally completed the refresh a couple months ago with the inclusion of a RTX 3060 Ti Founders Edition card, which was pretty awesome. Makes it even better. I got it at MSRP, so can't go wrong there. Currently running the Ryzen 7 3700X. Full spec breakdown is on the YouTube channel, so feel free to check that out if you want more details on what the rig is running, and check out some of the videos there while you're at it. And then I've also been doing a lot more streaming over at my Twitch channel. I'll include links to both YouTube and Twitch in the channel description for the podcast. So that's been a lot of fun. Been streaming a lot of Civilization. In my personal time, mostly Civ 5. That's the one I'm most familiar with. I've been doing a marathon run with Egypt. It's been super fun. Running a continents map type, and currently have probably 80% of the continent I'm currently on, in the middle of a battle and war with Carthage, because they're getting a little bit close to my borders and just kind of all around being jerks. So that's been super fun to kind of get into that more. And then usually on Thursdays are my for sure normal streaming night. That's our game night with the boys. We do a variety of stuff. Anything from like Civ 5 and 6 to tabletop-based RPGs. Like last week in March, we were doing some Call of Cthulhu. It was the first time I had personally run that as Keeper. I had done a few solo adventures, like the Alone Against the Tide podcast episodes, which you can happily check out on both the YouTube channel or where you get your podcasts. And I'll include links to those as well. And then kind of shared some of the info on and off, and finally was able to get something put together for that. So that was super fun. And we'll probably be finishing up the second half of that adventure in the upcoming days here. So excited for that. And then classics like D&D and every once in a while, like Phasmophobia, things like that. Been a lot of fun. Even did some wiki races the other night. Been a hot minute since I did a wiki race. Didn't fare well compared to my competition, but I had fun, and that is what counts. But beyond all the new developments, both on hardware perspective and like streaming and all that, recording-wise, for the YouTube channel, it's mostly been taken up by, as of late, Cyberpunk. My goal has been to do my best to upload a video a week, just because work, school, everything, that's a very, I feel, manageable goal, which, if you're looking to get into it, I feel is crucial to prevent burnout, at least on the video creative side of things. You can still experience burnout through work and other life things, which is what I've kind of run into here and there. You know, one video a week, I think it's doable. So yeah. Currently going through Cyberpunk 2077. I've been having a lot of fun with it. First couple episodes are a little bit rough with all the nonsense with the launch of the game, with bugs and things like that. It was especially irritating with audio glitching, where it was just super crackly and kind of distorted oftentimes. And found out it was an issue with the sample rate that my audio interface was reporting. So I have a Scarlett 2i2, and it was running at 48,000 hertz. So essentially, for whatever reason, with that, it was just causing that crackle, which was not very appealing for audio, both on my end or the viewers. So eventually I was able to find the fix and go into the Scarlett software and change that reporting rate to 44,100. Hertz. I still keep it at the higher bit rate for like audio clarity and everything like that, so you're still getting high quality audio. But that was my solution to fix that audio crackle, which thankfully I was able to find, because that was super unpleasant and probably would have made me put that game away for quite a while. Beyond that, I didn't have much issue with the launch of the game. A few, like, weird, wonky glitches here and there, which, if I remember correctly, do appear in some of the videos where, like, Jackie and some of the other characters just kind of, like, disappear, get caught in, I think, a locker was the one instance, which, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, so yeah, it is what it is, but it could have been more polished, especially with CD Projekt Red's kind of acclaim and push for high-level finishing details like that compared to Bethesda, where it's not a bug, it's a feature. But yeah, between that and Fallout New Vegas are the two main Let's Plays I've got running currently. I haven't done any recording for New Vegas in a while, simply for the fact that I've got 11 episodes of that and I just kind of want to catch up Cyberpunk. I've currently recorded an episode 9 and I'm in the process of editing it. And just need to post it, which will hopefully be going up on this coming Saturday, just before Easter. So that's pretty exciting. And then the goal there is to get that caught up to 11 episodes and then switch off weekly. Unless like something comes up and I need to do like some more simplified, streamlined editing, which Cyberpunk, for my needs and video style, is a little bit more conducive to. So that's kind of like a long-term roadmap, and I'll probably do a chapter break. I'm feeling for New Vegas come probably arrival at the Strip or Freeside, somewhere in there, one of those big kind of story beats, and then maybe transition into getting maybe a fantasy-based game like a Skyrim or something like that brought into the mix, and kind of maybe swap out that slot while I'm doing Cyberpunk. So some exciting kind of roadmap ideas I've got running there. And then in addition to that, the goal is to try to do podcast episodes, whether it's just solo like we're doing today, or getting some more people in like Jason or some other friends, and do that maybe once every 2 weeks, at least once a month. Got some plans cooking up for that. Another with the whole reinvestment into Call of Cthulhu. As of late, I've been really looking at getting into some of those solo adventures again and recording those. I had a lot of fun with the last one, Alone Against the Tide, and I found a couple other ones that sound pretty cool to run as well. And that way, I don't necessarily need to worry about scheduling conflicts and stuff like that. When I have some time, I can sit down and kind of crank through that and get that all edited and cut up, because that was a lot of fun. And based on like viewership and listeners on those episodes, it seemed like a lot of you enjoyed those as well. So that's what we kind of like to see. And again, if you have any like comments or things that you'd like to hear or see from us, feel free to leave a comment on our YouTube channel, in Twitch chat while we're streaming, or even on the podcasts. I'm always happy to get that feedback from you, because how else can we improve or evolve if we don't get your feedback? Now, with all those kind of updates out of the way, we get into the foundation of what I was thinking about talking about today. The potatoes, if you will. Boil them, mash them, and stick them in a stew. Finished off back in late November, mid-November, and had it posted throughout the beginning of 2021 in January. Finished off the Black Ops Cold War campaign. Little bit of an outlier, if I'm going to be honest, on the channel compared to like Fallout and some of the other stuff I've posted. But I've always had a soft spot for the Black Ops stories, at least. Those are kind of the ones that I really got into in the Call of Duty franchise. Started with World at War. That was actually my first kind of like quote-unquote modern Call of Duty. I think my first one was actually Call of Duty 3, and then World at War, and then pretty much had every iteration up until I think Ghosts, which was kind of interesting from the marketing, but just didn't really interest me or grab me. But easily and by far my favorite campaign is Black Ops 1. I just love the atmosphere, the twists, the turns. I'm also a sucker for anything kind of like 60s analog Cold War. It's just super, super cool. It's a fascinating time in our history, if not equally terrifying, with the looming threat of nuclear holocaust hovering over everyone's heads. But I really enjoyed the high quality like actors they got, the story, the music, and the multiplayer just clicked with me. I did the full 15th prestige. I think that one topped out at level 50, so maxed that all out. Loved the guns, loved the gameplay, and can't go wrong with a little nuke town. So yeah, I've got, as they kind of iterated on it, I had Black Ops 2. That one I liked. Didn't really click with me as much by comparison. I still had fun with it. I just didn't really like the modern tinge to it as much. Black Ops 3, that one for the advanced movement games was probably my favorite. It just seemed very well kind of put together. The movement gelled with me. And the story was interesting, but a little bit too far removed from the original ones for me to really care too much about it, seeing as it briefly mentions, I think, Nova 6 in a couple of the levels, but that's about it. And then Black Ops 4 just completely, I mean, I have it, I've played maybe 5 matches of zombies. I can probably count the amount of times I booted that game up on like 2 hands. It was not a lot. Played 1 multiplayer match, just didn't care for it. In part because that was also when I transitioned from console to PC gaming, so I was a little bit of a nightmare with like keys and all that kind of stuff. But it still just didn't grab me, mostly because they didn't have any story. It's like, here's your multiplayer, and here's a battle royale, which, yeah, whatever, is not my genre or cup of tea. And then they announced Modern Warfare 2019 now? Got the beta for that. Was super, super happy with its multiplayer. Played a little bit of the story. Yeah, it was cool doing that reboot and everything like that. Multiplayer super solid. And then, lo and behold, I think it was Sledgehammer fell through or something like that, and Activision had to expedite the production of the next installment of Call of Duty, and it turned out it was going to be Black Ops again. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Is it going to be like another reboot like they're doing with Modern Warfare? No, it turns out it's just a direct sequel to Black Ops 1. So it actually falls between Black Ops 1 and the original Black Ops 2, and it slots right in there. So I'm like, oh, that's really awesome. 60s, 70s Cold War, dipping into actually technically 80s because Reagan is president at that time. I got it and played the campaign. I had a lot of fun with it. You had certain beats that you kind of had in Black Ops 1, like, ooh, we're going to the Pentagon, and who are you going to meet? And you meet the president of the United States, and he gives you a mission to go to, the Cosmodrome to get and stop Dragovich and his cronies. And then, like, within the first, like, I don't know, like, 5 minutes, if that, it's like, oh, you're sitting at the table, and there's the president, there's Ronald Reagan, and he's like, you guys got to stop this Perseus guy. So, yeah, they kind of put all their cards out on the table right then and there, and it was fun to kind of see that, and graphically, it was very impressive. This was all in my kind of original graphics card set up with the 580, so it was kind of struggling there. So that's why a lot of those videos are not super smooth, especially as you get later into the game, with more and more particle effects and stuff on screen. But again, super interesting, super short campaign. My favorite part, maybe the Russian pyramid with the like all-American town that, spoilers, Woods and your character Bell come up on, and in the course of your investigation, trying to find Perseus, which from a story perspective, now that I'm thinking about it, was pretty cool. They did some pretty good marketing where it's like, this is based on true events. In case you were wondering, Perseus was allegedly a Russian spy that was in charge of like deep operations, trying to undermine like American government and American interests throughout the world, and was never caught. So, you know, that makes a pretty interesting and potentially compelling kind of like boogeyman that you're hunting down. Execution wise on it, I thought it was a little bit lacking. The cat and mouse, kind of like stealth missions. Actually, that's probably one of my favorite ones, is in Berlin. You're like actually undercover, sneaking around, branching kind of like objectives. So you get a little bit more freedom, less linearity, which is pretty cool. They had tried that in Black Ops 2, with like the multiple endings and stuff like that. So that was interesting. I don't think they did it. They did it well, but there weren't as many branching options that I can think of that really affected the true outcome of the story. I think there's only like two, maybe three-ish endings. A lot of it is like which characters will appear in the next level, if anything. Because you get kind of a hard fork in the road in the later game where it's like, all right, are we going to go here or are you going to lie and go here? And all in all, what could have been, I think, would have been a lot better than what it was. Not to say that the fact that they had to do a compressed, ultra-fast production on it, that I can kind of give them some leeway, because what would add a lot of time to it, but multiple endings, multiple branching storylines and stuff like that, that's why a giant open-world RPG like a Fallout, Skyrim, all those, they take years to make. Not only because they're building a game world that you're running through that's open and as seamless as possible, but also because if you're competent with your story, that can take a little bit of time. Although Obsidian seems to have found a pretty good balance of that. Like with the Outer Worlds and especially Fallout New Vegas. New Vegas being notoriously done in 18 months. Although they did have a lot of the existing resources and I guess textures and all that kind of stuff already made. It was, they kind of got all the reference packs and things like that, and they just had to basically build the Mojave and all that. Not to take anything away from their impressive achievement, still one of, if not the most highly regarded Fallout game since like the originals. I do have a soft spot for Fallout 3. That was my introductory to it. Really loved the atmosphere there. And really, really, really wish that it were more stable on modern platforms, or that Bethesda would get smart and stop re-releasing Skyrim every like 6 months and do a remaster of that and release it on like Fallout 4's engine. So that way we can have a stable experience and get some pretty sweet mods in there as well. So I love that game. But yeah, as it stands, the only real stable way to do it is Tale of Two Wastelands, and that can be, to put it best, difficult to set up and potentially catastrophic to a point where you just need to uninstall the games and reinstall them completely to make them work, because it could get borked hard. So yeah. RPG tangent aside, all in all, short campaign, a few memorable highlights, like the Russian embassy where you're playing a KGB operative, that kind of stuff. But compared to its legacy, like Black Ops 1, 2, a little bit of a downgrade, a little bit disappointing, kind of felt a little flat. At least to me. And I guess part of it too could have been tainted by the various struggles I had with recording the actual game. It was very, I was doing it at like right around launch, so there weren't a lot of patches and optimizations for like older, weaker hardware, even though my hardware should have been able to handle it without much issue. But then you throw a recording on top of that, and it was just the most difficult thing to get to run at stable frame rates, at least from a recording perspective. In-game, it was fine, looked fine graphically and everything like that, even though it was on like medium settings. But as soon as you look over at the recording, it was just not. It was like, here's 45 frames, here's 50, here's 60, and it's just all over the place. Just caused a stuttering, jittery mess. And to the end, I was able to get it like up and running to a point where it was stable enough. And I'm like, I don't want to, because it would also be very run by run. So like sometimes I get it up and running and it's fine, and then I have to like restart it a couple hours later and it's just complete garbage for frame rate reliability in the recording. So that's why the last, like, I don't know, 4 episodes were recorded in one, like, 3-hour chunk, cut apart level by level, and then just, I just put them up because I was done with trying to putz around with that. It was very frustrating. And part of that's on me just for having old hardware, but your game should have been a little bit better optimized at launch for that kind of stuff. And I guess now that I'm recording on a separate computer and not on my main gaming rig, that does help offload a lot of the recording overhead and allows the system that's running the game to actually kind of run it at full power and not do split duty. So that does help as well. And then the last kind of big, I guess, legs that the Call of Duty, at least Treyarch's Black Ops series, stands on are like your zombies and your multiplayer. Zombies, played a little bit of. It's fun. It's a nice kind of big open map. It's only one map, though. At least it was at launch. I think they released a new one recently. So it was kind of like a Nocturne, Totem-inspired, but expanded and a little bit reimagined with some underground, like, science-y tech stuff. So it was interesting. Only played it maybe 4 or 5 times with a bunch of randos through matchmaking. And then the multiplayer, the big kind of tentpole of the Call of Duty franchise. I was a little disappointed. The 2019 Modern Warfare multiplayer was super responsive, and a lot of the features were super well done, like the tactical sprints and stuff like that. Black Ops kind of moved away from some of that, a little bit more to the original Call of Duty, a little bit more arcade-like. Some of the gun models, I didn't care for the looks of, like the M16. I really wish they would have had the triangle-gripped M1. The A1, understandably, they didn't include that because it's in the 80s, not the 60s. Personal preferences aside. But the net code, or how responsive it felt when you were like down sights shooting at an enemy, and how it responds and like records your hits or lack thereof on them, just didn't feel as well polished. And the last several times that I've played, it still felt the same. So I haven't really touched that since near the end of content drop 1. But I will give them the fact that they've gone over to that kind of like season pass content drop kind of methodology, which I think is a lot better than random loot boxes and things like that, because that way you can, if you play the game a bunch, you earn these rewards, and if you want to pay $20 or whatever to jump some levels to get some like cool cosmetics and a new weapon blueprint and things like that, you can do that if you so choose. You know, it's not like it's a pay to win where you're getting like an edge, because everyone can still get these weapons. You could just get them a little bit sooner. So I do like that kind of microtransaction monetization model over the, I guess, more predatory lottery gambling style, like a loot box, like in older Call of Duties or like an Overwatch, CSGO, that kind of nonsense. That I just doesn't sit well with me. But I've had fun with it. A lot of the maps, they shipped with a very limited range of maps at launch. Nuketown, loved it, always will. I think out of the core maps that they sent outside of that one, the drug house, that was okay. Miami, I don't like. It was just too many weird off-angle sight lines and very, very hard visibility. And the satellite map, didn't care for much either. It's like a lot of those, never's big fan of. And quite honestly, once Nuketown dropped, that's pretty much all I played. I guess summation of my thoughts on the game, for the fact that they had to do it in such a compressed timeline than they would normally have, and that it was amidst a global pandemic where most of it was probably done remotely at home, I will give them a thumbs up on the fact that they put together a fairly well-polished, put-together, good-looking game with some pretty fun things. all in all, I would say it's pretty average. Nothing necessarily really jumped out at me. It was a lot of, we're going to take these similar things that we did in Modern Warfare 2019, port them over, maybe de-age them a little bit or upgrade certain things to make it look a little bit more analog in the 60s, and throw the Black Ops moniker on there with a kind of short thrown together spy thriller cat and mouse hunt campaign. Had fun with it. I haven't booted it up in a while. I don't know if that I will unless something really, really massive drops and kind of re-peaks my interest, which is the same with a lot of kind of multiplayer shooters. I used to be really into them, and now not so much. Used to really like Overwatch, and then it just got super frustrating, and it just became not fun to play. But to their credit, whenever they have like a big kind of event with a bunch of cool skins, I'll usually hop on and play a handful of matches to get some of those skins and see what it's all about. So they at least can get me to come back. Call of Duty doesn't necessarily have that much pull. So most of what I play now is kind of RPGs and things you can play alone and like solo, or like strategy games and things you can play while streaming, which in part is, I mean, that makes sense just because that's kind of what I've moved to from my gaming environment and ecology. It's what can I record that'll match my video style and tone and that I'll have fun with, and what can I stream? Because, hey, it's limited time. I don't have a lot of free time to game. So what time I do have, I need to make it worth my while and not want to just like moon launch my keyboard and mouse out into the parking lot or something like that. It's very much my time is precious, and we're gonna make the most of it. So if you haven't already checked it out, this is what, 6 months old by now, the game. It's already on like, I think, content drop 2, season pass 2. It's worth checking out if you're a Call of Duty fan. If you like Black Ops, you'll probably have fun with it. But yeah, that's kind of my summation of thoughts on that particular game. And I've got a bunch of different things in the pipeline, or at least tentatively planned future roadmap for both like a streaming and a kind of recording perspective. Though I'm excited to become or get this more regularly produced, both from podcasting and video production. And I look forward to that and the journey that you'll all hopefully join on with me. So I appreciate your time and your feedback. And again, feel free as always to check out the Twitch channel. It's FireIce158 on Twitch, and the StarCourt Arcade YouTube channel. That's where you'll be able to get video versions of the podcast. I've got my Fallout and Cyberpunk Let's Plays, in addition to the Black Ops Cold War campaign Let's Play. Although, like I said, a little bit rough around the edges on that one, just because of hardware issues and single recording rigs and a bunch of other kind of factors that played into that. But I look forward to your continued engagement, and I greatly appreciate you sticking with me on this. So until next time, this show has been brought to you by viewers like you. Thank you.